Okay, so just to go over some points from last week, then move to the new source sheet. We had come up with several definitions for bona, and we'd noted that there is that one of the difficulties in bona isn't just defining bona by itself, but is defining bona in distinction to make bepatish. So Rabbi at summary, despite the fact that it's not so obviously true, as he notes himself extensively in his footnotes, is helpful at least to present. So he notes four differences. One is that bona, you can be liable at any stage along the process, and makah b'patish, you can't. You can only be liable at the end. The caveat to that is that Rashi on Shabbos Daf Kuf Beis, this is source 38 in last week, says that when you make a groove, you can be chayev makah b'patish because it is gemar malacha. So that would seem at first glance to contradict this notion that bona is only bona is liable even during the process. Makah b'patish is only liable at the end because here you are liable for finishing a groove, which is clearly not the end of the entire kli. But Moshe Feinstein has a long tshuva, and I gave you part of it. I'm not going to read through it now, where he notes that that Rabbi Riet's suggestion is correct, but it's a bit more complicated in application because if you finish a groove, you have finished that sort of mitzumtam act. If you're going to make five different grooves, but you finish this one, so ostensibly you can be liable for that, even though you haven't finished the whole thing. And therefore, there is going to be this ambiguity because while makah b'patish requires you to complete something, it doesn't necessarily require you to complete the entire thing. So there's going to be a bit of unclarity when you get to certain situations where you have to ask the question: is what I'm doing a meaningful end in and of itself in any way, shape, or form, or is it merely process-oriented? But fundamentally, Rav Moshe accepts this thesis, that Mar Malacha is that Makah b'patish is the end, with the caveat from Rashi that it could be the end of a part of the process, or the end of a specific groove, or something like that. But that's point one. The second point he notes is that bona classically requires either making a shelter, right, an OL, or combining parts, if you accept the Evan Azel. Makah b'patish is more expansive in the sense that it applies not just in binyan, obviously. It implies in other cases, completing other things, and not as limiting. The third thing to note, which is, I've mentioned this already, which is critical, is that bona has a twin malacha, so ser makah b'patish does not, and that is absolutely critical. Because most of the halachic questions that come up in this regard have to do with that question, you know, cans and bottles and all of that. A lot of it comes down to what exactly do you think you're doing? Because if you think ein binyan b'kelim, but there is makah b'patish by kelim, there's no reverse to makah b'patish, and therefore destroying a can may be permitted because it can only be forbidden to destroy something through soser if it is the opposite of bona. But if making that can or bottle or whatever wasn't bona, then destroying it can't be soser. There are other problems because sometimes asiyas pesach is bona, making an opening is it, and that is bona, and then you have all types of complications, and hopefully we'll touch on it briefly next week. You have the added problem that the poskim can't agree on whether you're chayev when you open a can because of bona, makah b'patish, or soser. They're not sure whether the problem is that you're creating a can or destroying a can. Right? Rav Moshe and Chazon Ish sort of argue like they're just not talking in the same world, right? You can look at the same thing, right? One poskim can say it's usser because you're making a can. The other one says it's usser because it was a can and you're destroying a can. The other one says it's a problem of asiyas pesach. The other, you know, it's very, very, very complicated. But fundamentally, it's an important thing to note. And the last thing he notes is that bona seems to apply by firm things, while makah b'patish does not need that. Right, being bona is about building. Makah b'patish is about finishing. And therefore, you know, if you stuff a pillow, right? For the first time, that could be makom patir. So some bone by any stretch of the imagination. You're not doing anything sort of tight, but you're finishing something, and that is okay, and that is going to be chayiv. And we'll come back to sort of makom patir. I'm hoping next week to give a very brief overview of makom patir and soser. I know that I'm either going to have to record or take a fourth week. There's no way I'm going to do it in three, but okay. That's finishing last week's sources. Okay, so moving to this week's sources. So this is what I want to do. Now that we've done sort of the background to Boneh, I want to take the different, just practically, the different things that go under the category of Boneh and analyze the main principles in each of them. So the first thing to note is that classic Boneh, the most classic Boneh, the Av, the paradigm of Boneh is really Boneh Bekarka. It's Boneh Bekarka. And the Yerushalmi takes this as an extreme. That's number one. This is the new source I sent out. The same Yerushalmi we saw last week, which says, where do we get Boneh in the Mishkan? We get it from the building of the Mishkan, from the Krashim. So I gave you the whole piece, but we've seen most of it. But what we hadn't seen last week was that the Gemara said, but wait a second. At the last line, Hada Amra, Binyan al Gabe Kelim Binyan. If we derive Boneh from the Mishkan, doesn't that tell you that building on a Kli is Binyan? Because that's the paradigm from the Mishkan. And the Gemara answers, no. Adonim Kikarka Hain. The Adonim, which were these heavy base sockets, which rested on the ground and kept everything grounded, halachically are Karka. And therefore, the Yerushalmi seems to either conclude definitively that Boneh, at least the Av of Boneh, is only Bekarka, or deflects the proof that there can be Boneh not Bekarka. It's not clear, but the Rambam takes it that at least the accepts basically the principle of the Yerushalmi, at least for the Av in number two, and says, Abone kol shu chayav, if you build your chayav, amashra b'nei karka b'bayis, giving a Jewish will tell, umilegaya, raise a bone v'chayav, if you smooth out the floor, or these holes, you are chayav, and he goes through different examples, and then at the end of the halacha, he says, v'abone al gabe kelim patur, and if you build on a kli, you are exempt. And then he says, but it's true, that you can be chayev not building on the floor, but right, you can make an ohel, ha'osel ohel kavua, ha'reza toldos boneh v'chayev. You can be mechayev for making an ohel, right, for making a tent, even if it's not grounded, but that's only going to be a tolada. So the Rambam accepts, at least, if not as extreme as the Yerushalmi, accepts in principle that the paradigm of boneh is karka, and even if you're going to find a boneh outside of the world of karka, that is going to be a tolada. The Rav Kook notes in number three that it's not actually clear that we don't paskin like the Yerushalmi, because one could argue that the machlokas in the Gemara itself about yesher ein binyan bikelim is a function of this. As we'll see later on, there's a machlokas whether building kelim under whatever, we'll see the parameters of it, is considered boneh or not. You printed out last week's. Okay. Sorry. Whether building bikelim is considered boneh. So Rav Kook notes, "May the Yalaf Avde Boneh Mishkan Shenosim Krashim Agabe Adanim Umitaretz Adanim Kikarkeim." The Yerushalmi, if you read this as definitive, is telling you that yes, you can only have boneh if it's karka, and that's why the Adanim need to be defined as karka. Shemizem Muchach the Yishlomer the Binyan Agabe Kelim Eino Binyan Afilu Shu Asu Derech Binyan Mamash Shul Gamur. If you take the Yerushalmi as is, that would mean even an ohel, if it was a full house, but it wasn't grounded, right? You built your one of those portable houses on wheels, right? In Israel, they love these, right? In the illegal parts, because you can at night you can bring a pop up house and whoa, there's a house. Okay, they used to do this in the illegal part of all. What?
The neighborhood.
It's a neighborhood, yeah. Woo, portable houses. Okay, they do it in America too. I know. When I was driving back from vacation in the summer, There were all these portable houses, like multiple times in these trucks. There were full houses on trucks. Mayer was staring at it, like, why is there a house on a truck? But see, you do this. That is derech binyan. But according to Yerushalmi, you could be potter. Said, how does that work with the principle that most Rishonim, Paskin, that at least when you create a full kli, you're chayav mishum bone? And again, we'll have to get to that. And maybe that is the machlokes in the Bavli. When you find a machlokes in the Bavli, is there binyan bekelim? That tells you that there was at least a deya in the Bavli that held like the Yerushalmi, that not like the Rambam, that bone bikarka is the av and everything else is talada. But really, there is only bone bikarka. Everything else is not midiaraisa. That's how he actually reads that position. Now, while that's extreme, you could come up with a right. You could come up with sort of middle positions of this. And I gave you here the Igros motion, the Teres Paz. The Ramosha says, "Vim came my time and mechayev balochi yud gimel osatanar vechavisa veshufta vikufina mishum bone." He said, "How can you say that the Rambam accepts this principle at all? The Rambam later on tells you that if you make a kli, right, or you make an oven, you're chayev." V'chein muchrachan lomar desover haramim karan v'amagid mishna li beishabona bekelim af binyan gomor eno binyan aval siyas kli mitchila shadayin lo haya b'sham v'maitzav nasa kli ev ebona v'sharash loshna gomar hem binyan bekelim dafka. So Ramosha says, you know what? Maybe what the Yerushalmi is saying, if you're building buildings, then it's only bakarka. But kelim might be a second track. Now that would still have halachic mafkaminas, because you might then see implications to or leniencies in the area of oalim. The Ateres Paz number 5 tells you, "Lam ein shum echreich lamod me'asam de binyan hurak bakarka mamash mishum shein efshar lamod binyan bekelim guflayu mikli mishkan." And the Ateres Paz tells you, how could you do this? By saying, that's true. Bone of karka is learned from the Mishkan, but binyan of kelim can also be learned from the Mishkan, and they made kelim in the Mishkan. I mean, there could be two completely different tracks, namely binyan bekelim and binyan bekarka. And that's the Ateres Paz takes it. However, he says, Rashi, who paskins, that, ain't binyan bekelim, maybe the reason is because he doesn't accept this logic.
Why should this be different than other ones?
Well, so that was a bit of what we discussed last week, right? Why bone is different, why it needs this significance. But again, that's, it speaks to broader issues. It may be true elsewhere else, also, right? We see that in Borah, we saw it in Zorah, right? Where there you also need to find Baal's Mishkan. It's not only here. Here you find it to a greater extreme. But when we talked a few reasons last week, but we'll have to, if we want to continue, I'll just have to say it's complicated, right? But what do you see from this discussion is that you have a Yerushalmi, which seems to say there's only bone bekarka, and according to Rav Kook, maybe that's actually what the sheet in the Bavli means when ein binyan bekelim. As the Ateres Paz notes, maybe that only tells you that vis-a-vis the world of buildings, there's only bone bekarka. But kelim is different because you could derive it separately from the Mishkan. Or maybe the av is bona bekarka, and everything that's not bekarka is a tolada, right? We don't accept Yerushalmi at its extreme, but we accept its basic principle. Is there any nafkamina to that? But the answer seems to be absolutely, because the standards that we require for bona bekarka, as opposed to bona beohel or bona bekelim, are much lower. By which I mean more stringent. Meaning the threshold at which we decide that something which is bekarka is considered bona is much more stringent, meaning is much more minimalist. And that's what I gave you. And I think the reason that's true is because of this, is that we actually do accept in principle that the paradigm of bone is karka. We can come up with all types of terutzim to explain why we expand it to ohel, and we expand it to kelim vis-a-vis the worlds of tolada and the like, but it's true that the paradigm is karka. And therefore, you look at 6, kol shu l'may chazi. The Gemara says, what is a kol shu, right, of building, a minuscule building? Why is that chayiv? Some Rabbi Yirmiya, shekein ani chofer guma latzniv baprutosav, because you'll dig a tiny hole to hide some coins in it. And that's what they did in the Mishkan. The Kavasak on the Mishkan, Jovri Yiriyas chofer guma latzniv bamachdein. Like in the Mishkan, they would hide their needles. So you see that when it comes to karka, right, building a hole, The standard is so minimalist, right? This is not true by an OL. In OL, we'll see, we have all types of standards in terms of tefach and three tefachim, and right, it depends. Is it gog? Is it machitzos? We have all these rules of what counts as an OL. But when you're talking about bone bikarka, suddenly the smallest, most minute thing, as soon as it's functional, is bone. I think that comes from this notion that the paradigm is bikarka, and therefore it's the most machmir. And there are serious nafkaminas to this, because one of the things, and I gave it to you 8 and 9, one of the I gave you one more in 7, right? That was in terms of opening a hall, but the Gemara says the same as the opposite. If you have a hole in the house, right, because they used to have dirt floors, and you fill it up, you're chayav also. Again, minimalist, but you're chayav. What's the nafkamina to this? So I gave you an 8 and 9 that I didn't want to give you the whole Gemara. It's very complicated. But the Gemara has exerid derabbanan. You're not allowed to sweep your houses on Shabbos. Why? Because you might come to fill in the hole, either b'chavana, or it's a psikresha. It's a very complicated discussion. But we're so worried about filling up a minor hole that we have a derabbanan that you can't sweep your house. L'maisa, it's not a big deal, because most of the poskim paskin that mizman hazeh, because almost all houses are tiled or have hardwood floors, so nobody ever gets in the situation, and therefore they're not worried about it. But the very fact that there is a whole very complicated sugya about not allowing sweeping and maybe not even allowing things like zero atu sweeping, right? You can't sweep in a place with tiles. Zero atu, you might sweep in a place which doesn't have tiles, right? Again, how we get to the halacha lamaisa is interesting discussion. I'm just telling you the bottom line is that poskim are makil, because all of our houses are tiled and floored. But the fact that we're so machmir on this, I think, again, is a testament to the fact that the paradigm really is karaka, and therefore it's going to be the one which is the most machmir and the most minimalist. Point two. Karaka doesn't only mean karaka. It could mean big kelim. And as we'll see, again, I gave you an 11. Ain binyan stira b'kelim. Okay? There is no binyan stira b'kelim. B'hani mili she'ino binyan ma'mish k'gon chavesh. Shulchan Aruch g'n paskin like, and I gave you the shita at the end, that this is only when you're building onto a kli, not creating a kli. But the Ramah adds, she'ino machzekes arba'im sa'a. I don't want to get into where this comes from, because it's a very complicated sugya, but as the Mishnah Berurah notes, however we got here, the halacha is that if you have a kli which holds arba'im sa'a, dilei machzekes arba'im sa'a havelei ka'ol v'isbei mishum binyan v'stira afilo binyan v'stira koldu, that if it's 40 sa'a, so then it's like an ol, it's more grounded, it's more ol, and ol is closer to karaka, and therefore we have more chumras, because the closer something is to karaka, meaning right, the levels really are karaka, and then ol, and then there's kelim, right, which is either a different track or a tolada. But if it's a big, big clay, so like a closet, right? In Israel, they have these portable closets, right? That might be an ohel, or close to karka, and therefore, binyan kolshu, whatever that means, right? Koldehu, minor adjustments are going to be more chumra than they would be on, let's say, a box, right? A smaller box. And again, where does that come from? Because the closer you get to karaka, the more machmir things are, the more inherently significant things are. And I gave you in 13 some of the halachot that emerge from this. So you look in 13, Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Pakaka chalom. If you stop up a window, kagon luach, or shar kol davar shesomim as a chalon, with a board or whatever else you use to close a window, yicholim lesasmo filo meino kasher v'lam rin devi kamosu v'albinyan. So you're allowed to close it up. And we don't say that this is like adding to a building. This is only if it's if you thought about it before, because the mukta issues. But the sort of beam that you use to, sorry, the rod you use to lock the door, you don't have to tie it to the door. These are dirabanans, right? That certain dirabanans, you aren't allowed to use locks, like you know, like those, you know, those chain things that lock your door unless they're attached before Shabbos. Ain sarach shikrenu bedeles. You don't have to tie me. Komakom dami lebinyan yoser mipkaka chalon. But it's more similar to bone than the window stopper. V'lo sabi sagi b'machshava sheyachshav alav me'esmal v'sherach shitinkenu l'kach. It's not enough to think about it. You need to actually set it aside. Hainet l'rashi ani shitinkenu l'shem kli sheyroy l'shem tashmish. And then he goes through exactly the parameters of this. What does that mean? Why is it, right, that a window, we have lower standards. The door, we have slightly higher standards. Then if you continue in Shulchan Aruch, he'll tell you, right, the closer, the bigger it is, the more chumras we have. And it goes through all the details. Why is this true? Again, I think it's the same principle. The window, it's not near the ground. The window isn't, you know, it's a few feet off the ground. Okay, so it looks like bone, but not that much. So all you need to do is think about it. Think that I'm going to lock up the window with this board. That's fine. The door is on the ground. It's closer to classic bone, and therefore, this is an actual bone. You're just putting in a lock. You're not building, but it looks more like bone. So if you want to use a lock on Shabbos, you need to actually prepare it before Shabbos. And you see this progression in bone, that the farther you get from the ground, the more makil we are, both on deraisas and in derabanans. The closer it is to the ground, the more it looks like bone, the more it seems like bone bekarka, the higher the standards we have.
It isn't just because here you're dealing with an existing structure.
I mean, the windows also.
The door also.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. He says the door looks more like Mosef al Abinyan. So I'm trying to give a svara. Why is it more al Abinyan?
Right.
And I think the reason is because... What
is it? Because the door is more fundamental to a binyan than a window.
So I don't know.
If you can't get in,
we're not talking about making it possible to get in. We're talking about making it possible to lock it.
Yeah, right. I don't know.
I feel like the door is more fundamental to the binyan than. I liked everything until you said that the closer to the ground, and the closer to the ground thing, I find it harder.
Okay, I don't know. This is how I, you know.
Putting the roof on your
table. I mean, yeah. Look, I can't prove it. For me, I think this is, you know, especially in the world of Nira, right? I think the reason it leads more Nira. Again, you could say it's because it's bigger. But that's the same. The big kli is closer to being karka. And again, I think in Bona you can disagree with my analysis, but I hold Legambre by the Deoraisa claims, right? The Asiyas Guma and that. Here, again, you can take it or leave it. And I gave you here the Shulchan Aruch some of the implications. Okay. The one thing that you have to say before you move on is, and this is number 14, Rei Ribiat, usually he's a really good analyzer of the sugya. I've said this to several people this week. He's really good at analyzing the sugya, and he's really good at summarizing the positions very clearly. He's very methodical, but he doesn't usually do something fundamentally different than everybody else. In Bona, he does. In Bona, he puts front and center the notion of what he calls Derech Tashmisho. Now, Derech Tashmisho is implicit in many poskim, but he's right that none of the poskim spell it out as clearly as he does, but he's obviously correct. Which is that the big exception to everything, even bone bikarka and ohel and everything, is this notion derech tashmisho. If something isn't bone, it's just the way things are used, it's mutter. His example is, and I won't even read it to you inside because it's so obvious, is that the Gemara says you're allowed to open a door on Shabbos, right? A door that's on a hinge for sure, right? A door that isn't on a hinge, the Gemara has all these discussions we just saw, how do you do it? But a door on a hinge, you're allowed to use. Why are you allowed to use a door on a hinge? You're closing a wall. Right? You're closing a wall. That's what you're doing. But no, you're not, because a door is a door. It has a tzir. Right? The Gemara said, once something has a hinge, everyone understands that it's a door. Right? It's not a wall. And Rabbi says that even if it's true that the paradigm is karka, once something is built, and it's clear that it's just part of the building, and what you're doing is just using something, then even karka, even ohel, everything is going to be mutter. And this is really a sod, which he carries through everything. But the truth is, it is once you read through the postgame, you're convinced that he's correct, that this is one of the most important yesodos in Bona, even though no one ever really spells it out. So that's point three to make.
The concept of Derech Tashmisho? Or the concept of the ease at which... You know,
no, the notion that Derech Tashmisho make something not bona. Right? Meaning it's obvious. When you read through the postgim, it's obvious that that's the assumption they're all working on, but no one ever, very few postgim ever articulate it. He spends like 20 pages articulating this and going through all the sugya and showing why this is true by Karka, it's true by Ol, it's true by Kalim. I mean, it is true. Meaning we'll see. You can open a folding chair. Right? That's a Gemara Mefreshet. Correct. There are explicit sugyo that indicate that this is obviously correct. It's just that no one ever just said, the reason this is correct is because there's a fundamental difference between bone and usage. Right? That's... And he's right, that you just have to state that up front, and then things become much clearer. Okay, so that's point three. Point four, now moving away from Karka to the next level up, is Ohel. Ohel... So making an Ohel is Asur on Shabbos. There we go. Okay, good. Here's how the Gemara presents it. I don't know why this didn't get numbered, but okay. Hagud v'amishmeret ki la v'kise gal lo yasim v'asa patra v'al asur o'al lekeva lo yasim v'asa chayv chatas av'al mita v'kise v'treskel v'asla mutron tos l'chat chila. There's three levels. Ohel kavua, a set Ohel is chayv midoraisa, an Ohel which is not kavua is Asr Midir Abanan, and a Kisei Treskel, and things like that, which we'll see what they are, but it's like folding chairs, which are, again, to take Rai Ribiat's principle, are Derech Tashmisha, where you're not building anything, you're using, is Mutter Lechatchila. The Rambam 15, Hosa Ol Kavua, Reza told us Bone V'chayev. Now this is a Tolada, we've already established that Ol is only a Tolada, because it's not Bikarka, but it is clearly Midaraisa, and it is Chayev. Okay. This is how we paskin. The truth is the Yerushalmi doesn't paskin this way, which is not surprising, because as we saw, the Yerushalmi is already the most extreme on this notion of Binyan Bekarka. So if you want to see that clearly, look at number 16, where Reb Chiya b'shem Yochanan Hanotea olam b'Shabbos chayv b'shem boneh. Reb Chiya quotes Reb Yochanan that making a tent on Shabbos is asur midaraisa. But Amar Reb Zeira ain't ala kafarsan mekaplan b'Shabbos. Reb Zeira isn't even willing to accept that. He says, no, making a tent is not asur midaraisa because what are you doing? You're just folding. What do you mean you're just folding? You're making an ohel. But the truth is that no, Reb Zeira takes the conclusion of the Yerushalmi to his logical extreme. Boneh is only bekarka, not just as an av. That's all bone is. If it's not bikarka, right? If you dig into the ground, with the pegs, shine, it's bone bikarka. But just setting up a tent, you're just folding things. Now, we don't paskin that way. Rabbi Yochanan didn't paskin that way. But the fact you can even say that shows you how extreme there was at least somebody in the Amoraim was willing to take this notion that there's only binyan bikarka. But we don't paskin that way. We paskin there is, but it's a tolada. And why is that true? So Rav Gigi says, right, he outlines it nicely. He said, the reason, there's two ways of explaining why making an Ohel is only a Tolada. So he said, one possibility is if you accept the Ibn Azel, I'll say that part outside. He said, the Ibn Azel said, in order for something to be an Av, it needs two things. Dibuk Chalakim and Yitzirat Mivneh, right? You need to build something and through the attachment of pieces. So an Ohel has no dibuk chalakim, right? Because you're just putting out the sheet, and now it's a tent. It's still close enough to Bona that it's to Osir Midaraisa, but it's only a Tolada because it lacks one of the key features. However, if you're not inclined to accept the Ibn Azel, which I'm not sure I'm inclined to accept it, as I mentioned last week, and Gigi is not... doesn't love it, he said the reason could be simpler, which is classic bona is bekarka. Therefore, the classic bona is building a house, but with stones and rocks and bricks, meaning with building materials. Even if you want to say ohel is close enough to bona that it's also midaraisa, it's a tolada because it's not classic bona, because it's not karka related, right? Classic bona is built up from the ground with building materials, layer by layer. Ohel, what?
Which they did have.
Well, they did because they had the Adanim and the Krashim.
Yeah, after that,
but first they had these, which as the Rishalmi said is karka. And again, I think. This is sort of my running assumption through the whole sugya. I like this notion that, as you can tell, right, that classic bona is bekarka. The closer you are to karka and classic building, the more it's an av. It can still be d'oraisa if it's not too far removed conceptually, but it's going to be a talada. And when you're too far removed, then it's going to be d'rabana. And when you're too far removed, then it's going to be muta. Right? That's really the progression. How close is it to that yisod? And that's his argument. And he said, why is Oji Ladgish Panosamit Khach Khashifuda Pu Labramavi Bhaktiv? And he said it makes sense. It's not just random. He said buildings that come from the ground up are objectively more important and more permanent than things that don't come from the ground up. Like that's right, there's a logic, there's an inherent logic to this, that bone has a certain permanence to it, and therefore the more permanent, the more it's an av. The more it's
There's two attributes to that, though. There's the notion that it's permanent because it's on a stable surface like ground, and then there's the notion that it's permanent because you're not disassembling it. The latter is not true in the Mishkan, where everything is derived
from. Well, that was what we talked about last week. That was the Yerushalmi's question, right? Yeah. Is that that may or may not be true, depending on whether you think it was forever, right? But that was actually exactly the point, right? That was the point of the Yerushalmi in their DN last week. Is that true? Right? If you think that was called the Olam, then it was true in the Mishkan. That was permanent building. Right? If you think the conclusion was that it was L'sha'a, then you think not. But then you say, in Achami, that the important thing by Bona isn't how long it's going to be there. It's simply the physical... Correct. And I'm leaving this for you. Yeah. There's a huge discussion in Bona about what does Kayama mean. Because there's two ways of understanding Kayama. One is that by the very nature of its structure, it is permanent, or you intend to keep it permanently. Right. The reason I'm not dealing with it extensively is because the av of this sugya is in Tofer. Right? It's in Korea and Tofer. Kosher. It's by Kosher, right? Which Rabbi Chochina is doing, so I'm leaving it for him. But basically, because all the poskim in Bona, they just say, well, can we borrow the definitions from Tofer, Korea, from Kosher, from all those, and then they try to borrow it over to Bona. So I could do it, but that would require me introducing things in those sugyot, which we don't have time for, and we're going to get to them. So keep that in mind. Okay. So now, we're now up a step. There's a fundamental machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. What defines an OL? So Rashi says, Dafka Gag, I gave you the bold here in 18. Dafka Gag of a machitza lav OL hi, Vishari leforsa litzniut. Rashi says that in order for something to be an OL, it needs a roof. But a mere wall is not an OL. Tosfos argues vehemently. Tosfos says, no. Vishlom to kol anach in osrena leichon vodakin ova machitzos. Masa OL below machitzos. Shari, right? The main part of a wall is, of an OL, right? Is the walls. The walls is significant. Now, Tosfos, I understand, right? Tosfos works much better with my sort of understanding the sugya, right? Is what defines an OL is a mechitza, right? Then you get the OL on top of that. Rashi, who says, but mechitza is barely significant, clearly doesn't conceive of Boel, of Bona the way I did, right? If he did, it makes no sense, right? Mechitza is clearly more, right? The Gog only makes sense after you have walls. Now, Rav Gigi notes that there is the machlokas between them seems to be as follows, right? This is right before. Is that there's two ways of thinking of an OL. One is structure-wise, and the other is function-wise. Rashi is clearly thinking of it functionally, and the point of a house is its roof, right? That you're protected. Tosos is thinking about it structurally.
Have to say that?
I think it's the easiest way.
Walls also have a function.
Yeah, no, I think it's the separation from the other part. Like, are you protecting yourself from the elements, or are you protecting yourself from the outside? Like creating a rishus layach.
Well, that would be true if you thought that to be chayv you needed four walls. But what if you need one wall? Right? I mean, I see this mechitza achas doesn't do that yet. Right?
What does Tosfos say?
You don't need.
He says chomar chomot.
He says lo mechitzos.
Mechitzos, plural, with the presumption that you have walls.
But you don't need four. I mean, again, you could say they're both arguing about what is the function. You could in a chanami.
With sukkah, you see that you don't need four. Right? There is al milismo to say that you know it's lav dafka.
Yeah. Okay, I accept it. Now, Rav Gigi though notes that there is There is halachic nafka mina to you. I gave it to you in 20. And he said, look at the following machlokas. Look at this discussion of the Mishnah Berurah Ber Halacha. It's what's indented in 20. The avlan bin in keva, afim aza isa davar mashu lahosav al binyan bin machitz bin gad chayev, the koshgim osas a kol agag. Said, by binyan keva, which is daraisa, so it's clear that if you're mosav al binyan, you're chayev. Mikom lakom linyan ol harai lo asur ba osas agag. I should just clarify, right? We're talking about, Rashi and Tosafot are talking about, Keva, everyone agrees if you actually build a wall, you're chayev. That's not the shayla. The shayla is when you're making the oel arai. So Mishnah Berurah says, "Going in the oel arai, lo asher bo says agag lechud, im lo shos says agag kedei lahagim im neachama v'akshamim, b'chayotze bo does uktzas b'vchinas oel, avol belava chilo asru ki im beose gamma mechitzos arai shetachdav b'shabbos." Right? The Mishnah Berurah paskins that if it's a binyan keva, so you're chayev no matter what you do, if you're mosif. But for an oel arai, it's not usur to make a gag unless one of two things. If you made the gag explicitly to protect you from the elements, it would be usur. Right? Or if you have mechitzos, it would be usur.
Rashi and Tosfos.
What? It's some mix. So, the Ber Halacha says, I'm Mishnah Rumasha Kosev, Dim Asa Eza Dabar Mashu, Vachuli Ben Megag Chayev, Vacholzim is Barbara Divin Primer God, the Mashar Chornim. For Isi Bechayadam, Klal Membe, Shikosev, Lenin O Kavua, Dim Inan Shiasa Gama Machizos, Bishabas, Vayan Shamash, Gosel Inan Vilon, Vilon Hiran Dvar. The Chayadam says that even by an Ol Kavua, you need Machizos. Without Machizos, you're not Chayev. She said, "Yosei midvarav sheish machlod achron bosa ol keva im chayev lasos gamas amachitzos b'shabbos b'shvil sheis lis chayev v'lo istapku gan begad b'vad ela kedei lasor midirabanan o b'shabbos ol keva lasor litzel sagi b'shiyas agag b'vad b'shabbos b'shvil lis chayev al kach." As you see, that on the level of daraisa, Mishnah Berurah says, on the level of daraisa, right? Obviously, anything you build, right? You have a wall, you're chayev. It's only by Oel Arai that we get into this. But if you're actually building Keva, everyone agrees that a Mechitza is Chayav. The Chayadim says, not true. Right? Even by Binyan D'Araisa, you could build the walls. If you didn't put the tent, you didn't put the, right? Sorry, if you put the roof, if you don't put the, right, if you don't make the Mechitzas on Shabbos, you're not Chayav. Right?
What's an Ohel Kavua as opposed to an Oel Arai?
That's what I said. I'm not going to get into too much. I touched on it last week. But I mean, again, kavua can be permanent in terms of structure, in terms of intent.
Oh, you know, the terms that they're using.
Yes, that is
saying what the Mishnah Berurah is saying is definitely usher, and that's the adding in the nekeva.
No, but what you see, right? You do see that even the halacha there, the poskim are arguing about, right? The Chayadim says that no kavua without machitzos, you're making machitzos on Shabbos, you're potter, right? He's focusing on, right, that structure. The Mishnah Berurah says no. Once it's keva, doesn't matter, right? The only question is in derabanans. But if you're actually making a tent, right, it's a functional OL, doesn't matter. Walls, not walls, if you mean it to be there permanently and somehow you make it permanent. I don't know. You make a permanent gazebo, right? A permanent gazebo, according to Mishnah Berurah, that's obviously Chayav. Chayadim says, I'm not sure, there aren't walls, right? Because it doesn't protect you from the elements, right, or whatever.
Although, if you do,
so we could either argue their argument about what the function is, or they're arguing about, do we look more at the structure? And the truth is, it may be permanent, but it doesn't have walls, or, right, the roof. So you see that even the halacha, this argument, you know, this... There is implications to whether you focus on walls or roof. You focus on either functionality versus structure, or which function you're talking about, right? Covering you from the elements, if that's how you want to take it, or covering you from, I don't know, whatever. The reason I'm hesitant to say it's protecting you from the outside is because, as we'll see, a mechitza, which is specifically meant to separate you and somebody else, still may be permitted. Like mechitza l'shem tzniut is mutter. So I'm not ready to just say that any functional wall is us. Or it's not always true. It's sometimes true, right? And as you know, Adam and Yaron were dealing with a little mechitza materit. Mechitza materit is like a nightmare beyond nightmare in sugyas, because all the normal poskim who don't talk like complicated lumdas, all
I'm sitting here slugging the wash. You can't keep calling all these. I'm sorry.
I thought you were done with it. Are you not Lush? You have to give one more. Okay, yes, Lush is the most complicated malacha. Okay, we've said it. Rav Neuwirth thought it was the most complicated. He's right. Let's move on. Yes, I agree. Okay, fine. Fine. Okay. What? Yeah, Mechitza Materis. Okay, yeah, anyways. That was weird. Mechitza Materis was weird. Okay, 21. So, continuing. The Gemara says, Shalach le'erim yamir chizkol rav amram. Neiman lan ma'alin mi le'ma'al yasad amlam mishmein rav asi b'kipid arva. Please, tell me the interesting things, the wonderful things that you learned.
You have 21?
It's one. No, I have one.
We have a different thing on our sheets.
Huh?
No, it's not.
It's, one,
huh? It's not.
It's a footnote.
It's not. You have... I think you sent out a draft edition by accident on the
yeah,
doc.
Yeah, the numbers that
made PDF may be different, but the Word doc, you have a piece of Mishabura followed by
oh, I put... Oh, yeah, that's so odd. Okay.
A draft.
No, that's... Well, that's... No, that was just... I put the binyan v'kelim... I did send out a draft.
Yeah.
Okay, so then I may have to just reorient myself. I'm just going to reorient myself. What I gave you was stuff on Bonin B'Kalim. So let's, I guess we're going to have to hold off on it, well, because you don't have the sources. So let's.
You can send it now. Almost everyone here has an e-device.
It's very strange. I don't even, you know, it's one of those things like when you send out sometimes the, you know, if it didn't save, like I saved it, if it sent while I was in the middle of saving, then it sends what was, yeah. You know, it was like, as soon as I was like, okay, I think I have it organized for Shir.
Oh, send it to your phone also, and then you'll have
sure.
That one.
Sure.
I'll say Malachot Shabbos.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Now I'm sure I've had it.
Bona. Okay. It's really weird. Okay. There you go. Okay. And where was I? Okay, so then continuing here. Yeah, so he said, tell me nice things that you learned about Bona. So, Shalach Lei, Hachim Ravasi, Hani Kipe de Arva, Bizman Sheish Ban Tefach, Inami, Ein Ban Tefach, Ve Ein Ben Zel Zesh Losha. Do you get it yet?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Once I get it, I'll forward it to you.
My internet's being slow.
Yeah, no, it's very slow. But I just got it. Alright. Okay, sent it.
Thanks.
Okay. What? The same thing? What again?
Yeah, you have the same problem.
I don't understand. It's actually the same file that I'm open.
Same file? You didn't save it in a different place?
Could be. Maybe.
Yeah,
I have two. And I just have two files that created with the same name. It's possible. It's very possible. Okay, try that again. Try it again. Where would it be? That's very odd. Wait. Where is this file? Okay, so Shalach le'erim yechezkel barechezkel of Amram neiman lan marmalin mili mal yasad amram lam nishmei derav asi bekipe derava. So Rami Yechezkel said, "Tell me the great things you learn about the arches of a boat." Right. So they had upon which they had maps draped as protection against the elements. I'm reading you from the English Steinsaltz, so I get it very precise. Right. They had arches on the boats, and they had mats draped as protection. So tell me the good things you learned about it. So Shalach le'achi amar v'asi hani kipi d'arva bizman sheish ben tefach inami ein ben tefach ve'ein ben zelozeh shlosha. So we said, with regard to the arches of boats, so when they are a tefach wide, or even if they're not a tefach wide, but there's less than three tefachim between them, so therefore it's levud, or the space is between them, and therefore it's as if there is a tefach, one can bring a mat and spread it over them. Now do I have a messed up file, or did I just move to my file? No, there we go. Okay. So the Gemara says, "My time, Mosif al arayhu vishaper dami." So the reason is as follows. In addition to bona being usher, as we've noted, one of the things that's usher is mosif al habinyan. Adding to a building is also called bona. But by bona, on ol arai, only asiyas ol arai is usher, but mosif al arai is not, right? Because, you know, we're just progressing, right? Building or adding onto a real building is usher. Making a full ol is usher, but adding to an ol arai is mutter. That's two, right? We're way too many steps. We're way too many steps removed from the daraisa. And then the Gemara continues that hit certain rams. Okay, we'll just sort of skip. The rams needed shade during the day and air at night, meaning he wanted to be able to open things for them at night and close them during the day. So how do you do that? Some relate. Zilkroch budaya v'shir batefach. The machar pashta mosav al arayu v'shaper dami. He said, go roll up the mats that were spread out for shade, but leave a tefach unrolled, and then the next day you'll be able to unroll it. Because you'll only be mosav al arayu. And amarav mishum rechia vilon mutl antosom mutl farko v'shabas. A curtain, you can spread it, or you can dismantle it on Shabbos. And then the Gemara gets into Kilas Chasanim Mutter Leforkov and Tosav Shabbos. A bridal canopy, you can take it apart on Shabbos. And Rav Sheshes Brei Dravidi Lo Amran El Shein Vegaga Tefach Leishem Gav Tech Aser. As long as it doesn't have a tefach across the horizontally. The Gemara is Vechi Ein Betavachos Bishlosha. I just skipped, didn't I? The Chaim Gav a Tevach La'amr and Hashem Bepachos Mishlosha Samach Lagag. Tevach, it could be considered as having too much of a horizontal roof if it has it's too gradual of a slope, right? Because then we halachically consider the x-axis, right? So if the x-axis plunges less than 1/3. So then we halachically count the horizontal component of it, and therefore it is aser as well. But if it slants more gradually, so then it is like an OL. Amar of Shesha Bered Rav Idi Siana Shari. And then he said, what about a Siana? A hat. Yeah, but Tani aser, isn't that aser? Lokasha Hadis Pei Tevach, Hadalis Pei Tevach, depends if a Tevach. So then if I'm holding a cloth over my head, right, my talis over my head, is that asr? It depends on whether it's tight or it's not tight. So you get all these rules in the Gemara about ol arai. What counts as, right, what's asr and what's not? And the Gemara sets several principles. One is that mosif ol arai is mutter. Two is that something's only considered an ol if it has a tefach, right? If it has a tefach roof component of it, which is either an actual x-axis or it slants gradually enough that we halachically consider the x-axis significant. And it depends on whether things are tight or not. The tighter they are, the more problematic they are. The looser they are, the less problematic they are, because the less they resemble a tent. Okay. Now, these issues are actually very halacha lemaisa. There's a machlokas between the Rosh and the Ritva. Why does it help you? Right? The Gemara says that ol arai, right, which is already several steps removed from classic bonus, you're allowed to be mosif. You can't create it new, but you can be mosif. And the Gemara says, what does it mean to be mosif? To have a tefach built before Shabbos. Now, why is that true? There's two ways of understanding why that would be true. One is to say that if you already have a tefach going out, so then there is already an OL, and now you're just expanding the OL. That's mutter. The other possibility is to say that it's not that you need an OL before, it's that you just need it to be started before. You don't need to build at an OL. It's that, in the end of the day, there's an OL, right? It's not building at all. We need more of a heker, right? We need it to make it clear that you're not building something anew. But you don't actually need to be adding to a OL proper. What's the nafkamin? As you look at the Tosfos and the Ritva, Tosfos Rosh and the Ritva, Tosfos Rosh says as follows: Zil Kroch Budai Veshir Bar Tefach Perach Shloi Karachena Kula Lishar Tefach Pashut Hanira V'Nikar Shu Oel Avam Karachala Afal Gav Deovia Kricha VeTefach MiTefach Lo Mechzi Oel V'Chein Mashma Lishner Zil Kroch Budai Veshir Bar Tefach. Tosfos Rosh says, let's say that you have a tarp, and the tarp itself is so big that even rolled up, it takes up a tefach of space. Does that mean that I'm allowed to roll out the tarp on Shabbos? The Rosh says absolutely not. Because when we say you need a tefach, we mean that the ohel needs to exist. The rolled up tarp isn't an ohel. The Ritva says, because of our Tosfos, Shnei Roshan, Zeshu Omer Shlo Yadik, Karach Matlos Harba, Vyasa Binyan She Rachel, Vagol Tevach Koel, Vamra Vitoza Shir Batevach, Lo Mashma Hachain, Ella Shir Tevach, Chutz Menakri Chakamar, Chizer Eagle, Lo Mexico, Lo Machak Shu, Persa, Lo Mexico, Mosif, Ella Kaosa Oela Chatil of Chain Ikar. Right? So the Ritva agrees with Tosfos, but he interprets Rashi otherwise, right? Because he says that Tosfos, the way he understands Tosfos, that Tosfos is arguing with Rashi. Which means that the Ritva interpreted Rashi is disagreeing with this. That when you say a tefach, it doesn't mean a tefach of the OL, it just means a tefach that already exists. Venir Shaflash and Rashi after Shalom Perish. And then at the end he says maybe Rashi agreed with this as well. But Ritva understood Tosfos as understanding Rashi, sorry, right, as saying that this wasn't true. Right, that all you need is that there should be a tefach. Right, it doesn't matter whether it actually made an ol or not. Now, from that, you see that there's two very different conceptions. The Ritva, the Rosh, and Tosfos are telling you that why are you allowed to be mosav ol arai? Because you've already made an ol. The way they understand Rashi, however, is that no, anything which is ol arai is already so far from ol that all we need is basically a heker. As long as a tefach of it existed, even if it wasn't meaningful, but it existed, that's enough. Halachically, how do we paskin?
The Ritva's understanding of Rashi, which he disagrees with.
Ritva's understanding of Tosfos' understanding of Rashi, which he disagrees with. Yes. Yes. Lehalacha, we paskin, like Tosfos, and we say the halacha is that if you want to be most of all arai, you need there to be a tefach before, and the roll doesn't count. Now this has a million halach nafkaminis for you. So, for example, very quickly, right, awnings, right, or tarps over your sukkah. The halacha is you've got to leave a tefach out before Shabbos, and that will allow you to pull it out over your sukkah. If you don't, it is usur. Now, this is true not just if it's a rollout, but even if you have boards that you put on top of your sukkah, you can also add more boards on top of the sukkah as long as there was at least one board there before Shabbos. That was, you put a board there, right? Put a foot board there before, and you'll be fine because then it's mosif al habinyan. But if you don't, mosif al oel rather, be mosif al oel arai, right? The awning. If on the other hand you didn't do that, so then it is usur because it is mosif al oel arai. It's not mosif. It's ti'ilu bone oel arai on Shabbos.
It says sukkah. You don't mean sukkah mamash.
No,
you have to the
sukkah, because
no.
Without the roof, it's not sukkah.
No, the awning on top.
Awning
the awning on top. We have like
rains on sukkahs. So people cover their sukkahs when they're not eating in them. In Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't usually rain on sukkahs, so this is a foreign idea.
Okay, I'm gonna summarize some of the things that are here because I want to at least cover as much of this as I can. Okay. There are certain cases, as I mentioned, where you aren't allowed to make a mechitza hamateres, like to build a wall between you and Sifrei Kodesh if you want to be intimate. That's the example in Shulchan Aruch. The Achronim debate whether, let's say, does it help you by a wall to leave out a tefach or not? Right? When we've said that in terms of a roof of an ohel arai, as long as you leave a tefach out, it's mutter. But what if you want to make a wall, which would be usur on Shabbos, can you matir it by leaving a wall vertically rather than horizontally? So again, this comes to that same question. If you think it's about mosif al ha ohel, right? So then by a hanging wall, until it hits the ground, it's meaningless. Right, because a wall hanging in midair, like a tefach floating in the air, is meaningless. If it's about a heker, right, so then it might work. But if it's, right, and that is a machlokes achronim that I gave you in 26 and in 27, the Ber Halacha paskins that it doesn't count, right? It doesn't count. Right, that's what he tells you at the end, that the Shabbos Hikshal Zedach Lamaila. Sorry, other way around. The Ber Halacha just notes the machlokes achronim, but the Mordechai seems to say it does work, and the Tosfos Shabbos says that it does not work, and he is like the Prima Gadim to be Mekil. Okay. What am I? I have 30 seconds, so I'm not going to have more time for this. Oh. Okay, I'm just going to have to stop. Yeah.